Hello and welcome to episode 81 of the Blue Cup Tools podcast. I am Francisco Gonzalez, also known as Grindislav, and with me, as always...
Hi, Francisco. I'm Ben Sandler. Again.
What's wrong, Ben? Are you sleepy?
No, I'm alright.
Okay.
I really don't have any, like, sort of illusions that anybody is gonna be guessing, like, oh, who is it?
You were so
who's
high.
Who's it gonna be this week?
You were so high energy last week, and now you've dipped again. What's up?
Last week?
I mean, last episode, you know what I mean. 2 weeks ago. Well, was it 2 weeks ago? I don't know. I can't keep track of
when
we podcast.
I think it was further ago than that, but I could be wrong.
I don't know. Anyway, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm working at the moment, which is, if I sound distracted, don't get upset and think something's wrong. It's just that I'm...
Oh, no, I'm not upset. In fact, I'm glad you're working because, you know, we have a game to make.
Yep.
So, there's that. Yeah, good. That's good. What have you been up to? What have you been... what's been going on in your life?
Where do I start? Where do I begin?
At the beginning, preferably.
Oh, well, a long time ago, a man met a woman.
Oh, and, dear. No, not that far back.
Yeah, I've been alright. I've been busy. I've been playing a bit of music in my band. I've been playing a few shows. I got the big show of the year coming up this weekend, and then I think there's going to be another quiet period again, so that'll be good. Hmm. And I've just been playing games, making games, you know, living life.
Sure.
Enjoying myself.
Yep. Sounds like it.
Watching films.
Oh, yeah. You've been seeing some real interesting movies lately, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been watching a few that have been on my list for a while that I'm finally getting around to seeing.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's good to, like,
you amassed...
I still have a lot on my list that, like, you know, I got last year.
Yeah, you amassed quite the collection.
People just threw recommendations at me, and I just grabbed all of them, pretty much.
Well, I mean, that's a good way to, you know, sample the population.
To just... Yeah, well, it's like the way I play games. Like, you never know what you're actually going to like, so just try it all.
You're like,
you know,
those...
Don't go, oh, that doesn't look like my thing.
Yeah, you're like one of those people in those game shows that they put in, like, that glass booth of where they turn on the fan and there's, like, the money flying around and they have to grab at it to get the money. It's sort of like that, but with film, you and film recommendations.
That's me in a donut shop.
I don't know. I've seen you eating donuts, and that's not quite how you do it, but...
Yeah, but if I was in a donut shop... Like, specifically
well,
donut shops.
Well, I guess, yeah. Then...
I'd be, like, crawling around the ground. Give them to me, you know.
In a food coma, in a sugar rush state.
Yeah, Dan Crams and I got in a food coma once. That was pretty
good. Yeah, I heard tell of this magical time.
Good guy, Dan.
Yeah. So what have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of stuff. I can't quite remember what... I was playing last time that I said, so I'm just going to say, I know I forgot to mention Else Heartbreak.
Okay.
Last time we played, which is interesting, it's like a cyberpunk sort of adventure game, sort of open world. It's kind of like a cross between, I want to say, Lure of the Temptress and Dreamweb.
Okay.
Something like that. So that's interesting. And maybe like an Elder Scrolls game. So it's kind of weird, but also like The Sims. Sort of, I don't know.
That's
too much to take in. It's a lot.
Yeah, that sounds like a very eclectic combination.
Yeah, it really is. But it's really hard for me to sum up at the moment because I haven't played enough of it to go, oh, I know how I feel about this.
Right.
What else have I been playing? I've been playing a little bit of Wolfenstein The New Order on my PlayStation 3, which I was enjoying quite a bit. It's interesting because a lot of people in reviews and like just people talking say, oh, it's really well written, it's really great, the story's really great. I don't quite agree with that. The story is every pulpy, you know, I mean, you're fighting against a guy called General Death's Head, and you're still the same guy, and you're still fighting like future Nazis in an alternate history, like, you know. It's still that, but for the narrative it is, which is extremely pulpy and popcorn and doesn't give a shit, it's quite well told. It's like a really good actor reading from an extremely pulpy novel.
Okay.
So that's pretty good. Like, there's all the bits that you expect in this. There's a bit with, like, an old Polish granny with a shotgun, and there's the...
What?
Bit with the... You know, it's all the stuff that you're like... You know, there's a big German robot dog, and there's a big... Wow. There's all stuff. It's all... But, I mean, the shooting feels good. Like, it's very rare that I like the shooting in modern games, mm-hmm. In modern first-person shooters. But the shooting feels pretty good in it, and it's got, like... It's very much a modern shooter in the sense that you can go to stealth option, or you can go, like, guns blazing. I love it because you can dual-wield weapons if you find a second weapon, so, like, you know, you can dual-wield automatic shotguns, which feels great.
Hmm.
And ammo is limited, so you have to choose what you use. But yeah, I like that it's got stealth, and I like that it's got guns blazing mode, and both feel good, and there's a sniper, so it really feels like you can choose your own way to play, except in the boss battles, which aren't quite so linear.
Hmm.
But it's got like every first person shooter since Half-Life 2 has to have the special gimmick thing now, obviously, you know.
What was the special gimmick in Fallout or Half-Life 2?
Have you played Half-Life 2?
Yeah. I don't remember the gimmick was.
The gravity gun.
Oh, yeah, right. Of course. It's been a while. Sorry.
I can tell. So it's like, you know, Prey had the gravity shifting thing. Yeah. Singularity had the weird... And, yeah, so this has got a tool which lets you cut fences. And you, like, actually walk up to a fence and, like, cut a hole in it with, like, you aim and the hole cuts out the shape you did. And it's really well programmed, but it's also... like mostly a pain in the ass because it's like, okay, now I got to spend time getting this fence cut right, and it's a little bit awkward, but you know, it's pretty cool. But the game's actually a bit buggy, and I can't get past the bit that, like, it's just a quiet little bit between missions at the moment, but the thumbsticks have both buggered up.
That's a shame.
My PlayStation 3 doesn't connect to my new router for some reason, so I can't update it, so I've put it aside for now. I've been playing a bit of XCOM, also on PlayStation 3.
That's a good one. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's weird because I'm used to playing squad-based, like, turn-based, squad-based tactical games, and I cut my teeth on, like, the Jagged Alliance stuff. Like, Jagged Alliance 2 was a big one for me back in the 90s, and in that, if someone dies, you're playing it wrong.
Mm.
Like, if a squad member dies in that, you're playing it wrong. And same with a lot of other games like that. Whereas in this, if someone dies, that's just... people are going to die. Like, that's part of the things. So if someone dies, like, I'm like, oh, that was a failure of a mission. Whereas I get to the end of a mission, and only one person dies. Oh, rating good. You know? People died, rating excellent. I'm like, Jesus! Like, you're meant to have people die. It reminds me of Cannon Fodder. In that sense, where it's just like, people are gonna die.
Have you customized any of your squad members to be people you know?
No, because there's no point. Because I'm either gonna die.
I did. Actually, there's one way to customize a guy that looks to look a lot like you when you had short hair. And he died, and I was like, no, Chandler!
Oh, man, I remember Ilyich was playing XCOM, and we were just in conversation, and just out of nowhere, he just goes, oh, man, Kate Beaton died yesterday, and I was like,
no!
What?
No!
And he was like, oh, in XCOM, I was like, oh, my God, don't destroy my entire ability to feel anything for anything. It really shook me up when he said that. Yeah. And I was like, I mean, I should have known because we'd been talking about XCOM, but just the way he just kind of flippantly was like, oh yeah, Kate Beaton died. I was like, no.
That is a naughty, naughty thing to say, and you should be ashamed of yourself, Ivan. I know you listen to this podcast.
I've never forgiven him for that, and he knows it too.
I'm speaking directly to you right now, Ivan. That is naughty.
And we know he's listening.
Good. Good. I hope he feels ashamed. Okay,
artist. It's a life of shame and misery. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, I hope your brushes get stiff.
No comment at all. I've also been playing Windward. Did I mention Windward last time?
I don't.
Windward's good though.
I think you did. You said it was kind of like Sid Meier's Pirates, but not.
Yeah, but it's not. But I play, like, it's really easy game to relax with. Hmm. So, you know, as Pirates was. So
yeah, sure.
Yeah. I got read-only memories and just started playing that last night.
Hmm. What is that?
So that's pretty cool. It's like a point-and-click adventure game mixed with a visual novel.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's pretty good.
Hmm. Good.
But I've only played a little bit of it. And it's very cute and, yeah, it's got an interesting presentation. So that's pretty good.
Have you had a chance to play any more Dropsy?
No, I haven't. Well, I haven't made the chance to play more Dropsy because I got stuck into Wolfenstein. And when I get stuck into first-person shooters, I get really stuck into them.
I see.
So, yeah.
Except for Bioshock.
Except for what?
Except for Bioshock.
Yeah, I don't know. I've tried that twice. Although the second time I stopped playing Bioshock was because you and I drove away the next day for 3 weeks.
That's true. That's true. So,
you know.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I should play Bioshock.
I'll take full responsibility. You know. Yeah, you should. I really enjoyed Bioshock. Actually.
Hmm.
And for me to enjoy a first-person shooter is... It's not a rare occurrence, but it, you know, it's not exactly like a common thing.
Well, what first-person shooters do you like?
Well, I liked Half-Life 2, and I liked Dishonored. Although
you clearly don't even remember Half-Life 2.
Well, I remember Half-Life 2. I just didn't remember the gravity gun, but I remember liking Half-Life 2, and I liked Dishonored. If that can count as a first-person shooter, that's really more of a first-person magicker.
Yeah, it's. And I like a sneak 'em up.
Yeah, I like Deus Ex and Deus Ex Human Revolution, and
I kind of mean really. More pure first person shooters, but fair enough. Yeah, I'll take what I can.
I never got into the whole like Call of. I tried playing Medal of Honor, I think, and it made me dizzy, and no.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Do you get motion sickness?
Not usually. Very very few games have ever made me motion sick. I noticed it was once on the original Xbox. That made me motion sick sometimes because Medal of Honor did, and there was a driving game. I think it was it wasn't Driver 3. It was like some other car driving game.
That... Don't you mean Drive 3-er?
No, I don't mean Drive 3-er. Shut up!
What a poorly informed decision that was.
But it makes me happy that you do the same thing. Anytime I see a title with a number in it, I always pronounce the number in it.
Of course, you're gonna pronounce that.
It's really stupid.
Well, it's really stupid to call a game that, and that's coming from me.
Yeah, there was like Fee Forf.
The Furf.
The Forf.
Yeah. What was I?
I don't know, you were talking about stuff you were playing.
Yeah, I don't know. I finished a few first-person shooters on the Xbox. That's like the best console for first-person shooters that I've played, I think.
Yeah, that's why I went with
the
PS3. The
ones I finished have all been like... Very similar.
Mm.
That is X Invisible War, Pariah, Unreal 2. They're all on the same engine, even.
Yeah. That is actually why I got a PS3 and not an Xbox when I switched, or when I upgraded generations, because I figured Xbox was pretty much, you know, the Halo console and first-person shooters, and PS3 was more geared towards third-person action adventures, which is more my preference.
Well, kind of. I mean, you've still got Killzone and Resistance and stuff on... and.
True,
you know,
but...
the Darkness on PlayStation 3. They're two exclusives, Killzone and Resistance.
Well,
both of which are really good.
Okay,
except So, yeah, it's easy to cut, like to be trick yourself into classifying them as such, but it's not as easy.
Well, obviously it's not. But I mean, generally on a very general level, that was my thinking.
Okay, I guess.
Plus, there was a couple of exclusive PS PlayStation. Action-adventure titles that I was interested in, which is why I went with it anyway. So, yeah.
Right. I think that's everything I've been playing anyway, so... Good. So, on to you, sir.
Well, thank you. I haven't been playing that much, as much as you, because I've just been playing the same games. I finished playing Arkham Knight, so that was pretty much taking up the majority of my time over the past couple of weeks. So I finished that. I started up New Game Plus mode because I'm an idiot who just likes to complete everything. I'm two trophies away from platinuming the game, so you know how I am with trophies. Or at least I seem to be relapsing into my trophy whore mentality.
Do you think it's because you got a new system and you're like,
maybe
you've got very few games to play on it?
Exactly.
So you're like, I'm gonna make the most of them.
Exactly. Because the only other game I have right now is Bloodborne, and I know that's gonna take a significant chunk of my time. So I'd rather get Batman out of the way and feel like I've completed it before I invest in the next game. Because Fallout 4 is coming out very soon, so. It, actually, very, very soon. Fallout 4 is coming out in, like, less than a month. So that's going to be another time sink.
Wow.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed Syndicate comes out in...
I didn't think you were interested in that.
Well, I'm waiting to hear about reviews. I'm really interested in the whole London environment. I'll wait to see if it's, like, disgustingly buggy and broken like Unity was. But the good thing about it that I've read is that it has no multiplayer, so that hopefully means that the team has been focusing on the single-player campaign and making it, you know, not suck. So it seems like every other Assassin's Creed game is really good, because 2 was really good, and 3 people didn't like. I liked it. Well, I guess all that other Revelations and crap were okay, but like the major entries in the series...
Brotherhood?
Yeah, well, Brotherhood came before 3, I think.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. So, but I'm talking about, like, major ones, not spin-off ones. I'm talking about numbered ones. There we go.
I can't even put words into my head to explain how,
do we do
how
that?
I feel about that classification.
I know. But anyway, everyone really liked...
Bullshit.
Everyone really liked Assassin's Creed 4, and I enjoyed it as well. And then Unity was terrible. Was that even what it was called, the French one? Yeah, I think it was. Unity was terrible.
Did you play that?
No, I watched a few videos on it, and I was like, it looks very pretty, but it's just, and they all have stupid English accents in revolutionary France. So who knows, maybe Syndicate will be good.
Yeah, but they do that in Les Mis.
I know, but if you're going to make the next game in Victorian London, you might as well try and make your French game in France. Anyway. So I'm waiting to see. Maybe I'll get Assassin's Creed Syndicate if it's any good. Maybe. We'll see. I played that. I also finally finished a game that I forgot to mention last episode that I've been playing over the past, like, 3 weeks, which is Rinse and Repeat, which is Robert Yang's latest game. You and I both played Stick Shift, which was another one of his, which, if you remember, was... You had to basically give a car a hand job.
Did I suggest that to you?
I think you may have done, yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Rinse and Repeat, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, is another one of Robert Yang's... I don't know how to classify them. I guess they're very... they're games about... not really consent. Maybe they are about consent. I don't know. Anyway, the point is... In Rinse and Repeat, you play a guy who's in the shower at the gym... And the first time you load it up, there's some dudes in the shower with you, and this guy comes in and he asks you to help him soap up his back. So you have to, like, rub on him, and he asks you to soap up various different body parts. And so you kind of have to figure out what he likes, because some body parts, he wants you to be rougher than others.
Sounds like my life.
Yeah. Wait, how?
Never mind.
Okay. Anyway, so, but the thing is, it procedurally generates a schedule every time when you load up a new game, so you have to look on the bulletin board in the back and see when each class, quote-unquote,
When
ends.
You say in the back, do you mean on the guy's back? Is there a bulletin board on his back?
No, that would be funny, but no, it's in the back of the, you turn your head, because it's a first-person shower simulator.
Yeah, sure.
You look at the bulletin board on the wall in the back, and so you have to, you have to basically play the game at the time that the classes end. Otherwise, it's just an empty shower. And if you get there late, the guy actually is already there and he scolds you and he walks away. So it took me a very, very long time to figure out when the next schedule was. So I would always miss it. And you only have to play like 3 or 4 times before you finish it. And I have to say, the ending really threw me for a loop, because I was expecting something completely different. And it was really... it really subverted my expectations of what was going to happen, and it was actually kind of a downer ending. So, if you get a chance, I recommend you play Rinse and Repeat, if only because it's really funny to scrub another guy while listening to a funny song. Also, he's wearing aviator glasses, which in the shower, which I think is hilarious.
That's pretty cool. It's interesting because Elle's Heartbreak has this also thing where like everything runs on a day-to-day schedule and time moves pretty quick and it's easy to get like distracted by this big open world. So like early on in the game, someone's like, oh, hey, cool to see, you know, I'm going to go to this club tomorrow night. You should come and meet me here at this time and we'll go there. So like I wrote a little note on a post-it note, meet at this time. And like I got exploring the world and then like, you know, my character was tired, so I had to sleep, so I slept, and then I was like, oh, I've got plenty of time to get to the club still. So I was walking towards the club, but then I was like, I'm just going to check down here. And then I was late to get the club. I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to miss the person. And it's cool how, like, a schedule...
Yeah. I had to write down... Still... Yeah. I had to write down shower 12 p.m. on a post-it note the other day, and I completely missed that, too, because... It was a Saturday, I think, and I was like, oh, well, I'm just going to come over here and do this. And then I was like, oh, fuck, I've missed it's past noon. I was listening to a podcast. So, there you go.
I'm pretty sure you could listen to a podcast while you shower with another man.
Probably, but you don't want to get your listening device wet.
Well, you put it on a laptop computer and you put it over the other side of the bathroom.
Or you just put your phone in a plastic baggie, I guess.
I guess.
I don't know. I've never really needed to listen to podcasts in the shower, to be honest.
No, I've never really needed to listen to a podcast on my phone.
Oh. Well, fair enough.
It's just easier to put on the computer. Especially now, I'm always around the computer.
Yeah, true. Anyway. Yeah, so that's basically what I've been playing that I can think of. So, moving on. We have a correction from a really long time ago that we should probably read. Ori of Talion tweeted at us a very long time ago, September 29th, saying that in our episode 68, which was the GDC, post-GDC wrap-up, which, damn, that was a long time ago. That was like 6 months ago. Or more. He went so far as to say, at 43 minutes and 30 seconds, that's how hurt he was by my mistake. I said that Noah Falstein had designed Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis, when in fact it was Hal Barwood, and he is 100% correct. So, sorry. Yes, it was Hal Barwood that designed Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis. What did Noah Falstein do on it, though? Because I know he was involved somehow. Was he like a producer or something?
I don't know. Good question. Should have looked it up on Moby Games before you started the episode, but anyway.
Oh, well, it's not too late. I can look it up right now. You can tell.
You get to hear the sound of Francisco searching in his search engine of choice for Moby Games. Well. And then searching within the Moby Games search engine for Fate of Atlantis, unless he does what I do, which is use my search engine of choice to search for Moby Games Fate of Atlantis.
Well, no, that's actually not what I do, but yeah. Let's see. Story and design by Hal Barwood and Noah Falstein, but project led by Hal Barwood. So, Noah Falstein was. William L. Eakin was the lead artist. What else did he do? He did...
Being an artist? Cried in his room?
No, I mean, I meant what other games did he work on?
Oh, sorry, I can't. When it comes to artist jokes, I just can't help myself.
I know. Anyway, he worked on
who I am.
He worked on The Secret of Monkey Island, and he also worked on The Dig and The Curse of Monkey Island. So there you go. Oh, and he gave art support and advice on Maniac Mansion: Day of the Tentacle. So I guess
those guys used to see a lot of like LucasArts credits. Like they all kind of mention each other.
Yeah.
Even if it's just in special things, that you really get the feeling that like they used to talk all the time.
Yeah, they probably did.
Mm.
Mm. Anyway. So our topic this week comes by a suggestion from Joel Mayer, who says... This is a long one. It's over three tweets.
Jesus.
I know. He blasted through that 140 character limit.
Take that.
Yeah. Anyway.
Societal constraints on communication.
Is it that? Okay, yeah, never mind. Anyway, so he says, since it was hinted that the next Wajedi game would be 640 by 400, I would be interested in how you guys feel about that, and where you see the challenges, and what the advantages or disadvantages are. I recently played around with this, and must say, it's a pretty weird resolution. Too small for anti-alias characters, but almost too big for good-looking pixel art. Hence, you got all these strange mid-90s character sprites, Torrent's Passage or King's Quest VII, that look really horrible. They were animated on paper, but probably traced in the computer to get the clear one-pixel lines. Anyway, I'll shut up now. Thanks! And then, he completely didn't shut up and tweeted another thing, which he said...
Jesus, Joel! No, you're alright. Information is good.
Yes. He also said, maybe one last thing. Do you think the debatable overuse of pixel art in indie games can have a negative effect on sales? Winky face. And I'm very glad that you said debatable, because I have a lot to say on the subject. Anyway, so let's start with his first question. So, yeah, Dave recently mentioned that he wants his next project that he's working on to be 640 by 400, and you are on board with this. So as the lead artist for Wadjet Eye Games, what exactly are your feelings on working in a higher resolution than 320 by 200?
Don't do it. Not worth it.
You haven't even started yet.
Well, the very first game I made was at 640, 480. Because, you know, I didn't know anything about art at all.
What, Hungry was 640 by 400? 480?
No, 640 by 480.
Oh, yeah. 640 by 480, yeah.
So I didn't know anything about art or graphics or resolutions or anything. I didn't know anything about graphic formats. I was so newbie.
So what else?
I saved all the graphics in bitmap files.
So what else has changed?
Well, now I have to put up with people when I do my newbie shit like you. Now I'm working with an even bigger noob than myself, which is incredible to me.
Oh.
Hiss. So I think it's really one of the real benefits of working at 320 by 200 is if you aren't that sort of consolidated in your styles, if you have various techniques. Like for me, I paint my backdrops in a raster editing program like Photoshop,
mm-hmm.
using soft brushes and... you still get a pixely style doing that. Whereas if you do that at a higher resolution, and let's be fair, 640 by 400 is not high resolution. It's very low resolution.
It is, but there's a distinct difference between, visually, that you can really tell the difference between 640 by 400 and 320.
It's four times as many pixels.
Sure.
You know, so that's like, but yeah, we're not talking a huge resolution here. It's still pretty small, but one of the real benefits of working in this sort of lower graphics mode, is that you get a real sense of cohesion,
mm-hmm.
and things work together very well visually. When you start bumping the resolution up, things stop looking the same. And sometimes that's not a bad thing in games. Sometimes you want the characters to stand out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's very easy to be down and stuff because you look at King's Quest VII and you look at Torrent's Passage and you think, oh, you know, blah, blah, mm-hmm. whatever. But also look at stuff like The Curse of Monkey Island. Look at stuff like Broken Sword.
Yeah.
They're good-looking games. I challenge anyone to deny that.
No. I mean, they're not. I mean, they are. I don't know what I'm saying.
No, neither do anybody else. So, yeah, but that's the thing. It's for me, in terms of what having more resolution adds, is it adds, well, obviously, the ability to have more detailed stuff.
It adds a lot of work, for one thing.
What's that, sorry?
It adds a lot of work, for one thing. It takes a lot longer to do a 640 by 400 background than it does a 320 by 200.
But when you were doing 320 by 200 backgrounds, you were painting them double-sized and downsizing them.
Sure, but I was thinking in the terms of that they were going to be downsized, so I wasn't focusing so much on detail.
Mm.
To do one at native resolution and have it look good at that resolution, that takes a little bit more time. Same with character sprites and animations and stuff.
Sure.
You were working on a game. Can we talk about that? You were working
on we're allowed to talk about Cloudscape.
Okay. You were working on that game, and the sprites for that game were pixely, but they were 640 by 400 resolution pixely, and they were big and they were very detailed, and it looked like they took a really long time. How long were those, did those usually take you?
That's hard to quantify in terms of time taken, because I was working with guys that were very hands-on in terms of feedback. So, like, one sprite got numerous revisions in So it's really hard for me to go, it took this long, because I don't really know how long they took.
Did you get a chance to do any walk cycles?
Yeah, I did two or three, I think.
How long
for that?
Well, do you know how long those took, or was it the same case?
It was. I mean, it took longer, but not super much longer.
Hmm. Okay.
You know, I still use the same number of frames.
Right.
I still use the same method.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that you have to shade a bit more than normal.
Sure.
And yeah, there's a lot to be said for doing something new as well, in terms of, like, this takes me longer because I'm not used to doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So inexperience adds to it, but also when you're doing something new, it's less tedious because you haven't done it all before, so you're still figuring stuff out. So you kind of lose track of time a little bit more. I remember I tried hand painting walk cycles,
mm-hmm.
Like sort of cell animation style, with like do the ink and then sort of paint the flats.
Yeah, I tried that
took
too.
Me forever.
Yeah, same.
But to get that to look nice, like how I was happy with it, I think it took me 14 hours for one walk cycle.
Yeah. That's the thing, because like you mentioned these games, and I'm glad you did, because those were the examples I was going to go with. King's Quest VII and Torrent's Passage, and that sort of mid-90s Sierra, I like to call it the MS Paint days, because I know they didn't do it in MS Paint, obviously. They, you know, you watch some behind-the-scenes videos and you see that they actually did lightbox, you know, animation with on paper, hand-drawn, whatever you want to call it, and then they would scan them in, presumably, and then just, they probably did trace over them. But that was the thing. They had a limited palette, because even though they were 640 by 400, they were still 256 colors. So you see that. I think LucasArts did a better job in Curse of reducing the colors than Sierra did, because you could definitely see a lot of dithering in the Sierra backgrounds. I mean, King's Quest VII, not that much. I mean, there was a bit in King's Quest VII, but in King's Quest VII, the backgrounds were hand-painted, whereas in Torrent's Passage, they were this sort of weird blend of hand-painted elements, but a lot of 3D rendered stuff that looked very strange, and that was just a dithering nightmare.
Yeah, you notice it mostly for me in Space Quest VI, when you look at the backgrounds of that.
Yeah.
They're dithered to the shit house. They're just crazy dithered.
Yeah.
Leisure
Suit Larry 7, too, because Leisure Suit Larry 7 had this weird thing where it was like hand-painted stuff, but then also a bunch of matte-painted textures and things like that. So,
yeah.
It was a sort of weird mix. But yeah, as far as like the character animations, you could tell that they had scanned them and whatever. But they did that thing where it looks like they really did it in MS Paint, because there's really only two shades. Like, skin tones are basically a dark for the outlines and a light for the fills, and same with like the clothes, you know, like Valenice's green or turquoise dress or whatever, she has the dark turquoise for the outlines and the fill, and there's really no shading, and it just looks weird. And a lot of the times they just kind of like, I don't know, the animations look funky and it just doesn't work.
I think one of the bigger issues is that they were trying to go for stylized, cartoony characters, and so they wanted to have big eyes, big features, and when a big eye gets twisted or scaled or distorted in any way, it starts looking wrong very quickly when you're talking about a small number of pixels.
Absolutely.
Whereas we use dots for eyes, and you get away with a lot more with dots for eyes.
Yeah. Whereas, in The Curse of Monkey Island, the sprites were also ink and paint. I think they colored them in once they scanned them. But it was so much better done, because the outlines were black, and the colors were just single colors. Yeah, there was, I think there might have been a little bit of double color shading or something. I don't know. But yeah, for the most part, the sprites actually looked better because of that.
Sprites and they were, in Curse of Monkey Island are also more exaggerated, more stylized, like typical cartoon sprites, and they're also massive.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
They are enormous sprites.
But like, even still, like, Guybrush scales, and he still scales well because of the fact that, you know, he's put together better than any of the Sierra ones.
Yeah, you can tell, like, there's a difference in skill level.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think.
The thing, too, is if you think about Broken Sword, I don't know how they did Broken Sword, but Broken Sword almost looked like Cell animated. Not Cell
Broken
shaded.
Wasn't Broken Sword done by Don Bluth Studio?
Yeah, the first one at least was done by Don Bluth Studio. So, yeah, the sprites themselves, I'm trying to think, because the sprites themselves didn't look like they were done in with just like straight up pixels, but they also didn't look scanned. So I have no idea how they actually did those.
Yeah, I don't know. I get the feeling that they did some rotoscoping or, you know, something like that.
If anything,
it's hard to tell when you've got experienced animators. They get away with a lot of shit that we won't.
Yeah. I think they they might have painted them on cells and just scanned that and imported that and done whatever to digitize it. I don't know. You'll have to call up your old friend Crocodile Charles Cecil and ask him how they did it.
So now you admit that he's a crocodile.
Oh, you say this every time. I said your old friend Crocodile Charles Cecil, not mine. As far as I'm concerned.
But you admitted that Charles Cecil is a crocodile. You just did.
No, I didn't. You're putting words in my mouth, and I don't appreciate that.
Mm. Let's see. Well, you're the one that put the words Crocodile Charles Cecil into your own mouth, so you've only got yourself to blame for this.
I didn't put them in. They came out of my mouth.
But you had to put them in. No one's going to put a little piece of paper in your mouth that says those, and then you open your mouth and the sound comes out.
Well, no one's going to put a piece of paper in my mouth anyway, because that's gross, and get away from my mouth. No, you're not. Get away from me. Anyway.
I think the biggest benefit to moving to a higher resolution is you get away a little bit from something that I have termed non-endearingly fighting with pixels, where you've got such a small amount of pixels. You're trying to do, in the sort of Wadjet Eye scenario, you're trying to do characters that tend more towards realism than exaggerated and cartoony styles, and you're trying to get facial features and give them character and everything like this, and there's only so many faces you can do at that resolution. Even if you go, like, Shardlight has fairly big sprites compared to other games that have been, you know, that Wadjet Eye has done. Like, if you look at Gemini Rue or a Golden Wake sprites, they're really quite small. And you look at, like, the stuff we're doing for Shardlight now, they're pretty big, but I still fight with pixels all the time. And moving to a high resolution kind of lowers that somewhat. I mean, Gemini Rue solved that by really having very little in the way of facial detail.
Well, they had no facial detail.
Right, they just had, like, the structure and suggestion of a face without too much going, this is what it actually looks like.
Well, they didn't even have, like, noses or eyes or mouth suggestions. It was just a blank face.
Yeah, but you still suggest the structure of the face with the shading and
the hair. Of course.
Yeah, you look at stuff like A Golden Wake, when someone's got glasses on, they're hugely oversized just because you're trying to show glasses, but there's only 8 pixels in which to do anything, and you kind of... Yeah, so... You get away from that a little bit, and it starts... Like, I spend quite a lot of time moving a pixel back and forth, going, which one looks less worse rather than better? Because I really struggle with it. So I think, if nothing else, it should help with that. But also, like, I've been doing games at this resolution for a long time now. Like, and I'm starting to feel like it's holding me back a little bit, you know? And I know it's going to suck. I know it's going to be hard. But like when I started working on Epiphany, I was like, I don't know if I can do someone else's game of this size. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just got to put yourself out there and go, all right, I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
I think the hardest thing is going to be to nail the serious tone, because all the high-res adventure games you see that are in 2D are not serious. Like, they're all cartoony.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, like, even when I see some of Daedalic stuff that tries to go for a serious tone, you look at the character designs, you're like, some of them are quite good. I like the character designs in, what's the one? A New Beginning. Is that A New Beginning?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I really like the art in that, but it still looks like comic book art, but a little bit more towards the serious style of comic book art.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you'll figure it out.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you got to give it a try, and I think if it works, it'll be cool. So yeah. I mean, it's funny because Dave and I had been talking about this for I don't even know how long. Like, a long, 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 long time. And anyway, he kind of got me one night and called me up on Skype and was like, hey, I've been thinking about it and I really want to do high res and everything like that. I'm like, I mean, we've been talking about it forever. I've got more time to do it now than I've had ever because this is my full-time job.
Right.
I've got more experience now than I've had ever because I've been drawing full-time for just about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn a lot when you do that. I'm like, we might as well, you know. And now just like at the end, I was like, yeah, I've been kind of feeling restricted by 320, 200 anyway. So Dave's like, all right, cool, that'll be cool. I go to bed, I wake up in the morning, and Dave's like, Ben 204 said that he's restricted by low res, we're going to do high res. I was like, Jesus, don't put this on my shoulders. So that kind of made me laugh, but I'm like, you know, what do you do? You just, like, the only way to figure out if it works on is to fucking do it. Just put yourself out there and see what happens.
Yep.
Like, you can be timid and hold your... Like, I've held myself back in so many ways for so long just because I was comfortable.
Hmm.
Like, comfortable drawing in a certain style, comfortable doing a certain thing. You learn, you grow. It's like the exercising. You got to break down the muscles and it's got to hurt before it starts getting stronger. So, fuck it.
Gee, you almost make it sound like it's easier to be consistently miserable than it is to be happy, but uncertain.
God.
Maybe I should make a game about that.
You know what you just sounded like? You sounded like Shane Stevens doing voice acting for Ben Jordan 2. Yeah, I watched a Let's Play of that the other day just to hear Shane's acting in it again.
Why?
Cause it's hilarious. It's amazing. One thing that's really cute about, like, when you get games done by, like, people voice acting from all over the world is you get, like, this Sierra quality where it's, like, all different styles and stuff.
Yeah, sure.
It's really cool.
Well, that's why you should only do it if it's a freeware game.
That's funny because Shane acted exactly how you wrote the character too, so you've got this,
well, I mean, you know.
This super stereotypical, like, old prospector that is hilarious. Hey, kid, where's my car?
Oh, crap. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, moving on to the second... well, actually, no, I wanted to chime in on my opinion here. Yeah, I've made...
So, you've done a high-res game.
I did,
you've
well...
You've done a few.
Sort of.
You've done two.
And I haven't completed them, but I've worked on them, yes.
No, you finished one, but never released it.
No, I never finished it. That's why I never released it.
You took, what, number three?
Yeah, I never had a final puzzle. That's why I never released it.
Oh my god, you got that close.
I got that close, and I never finished
you
it.
Piece of shit.
I know.
Play that.
No, you don't. It's terrible. Are you fucking kidding me? It's horrible.
That's why I want to play it.
I probably still have it somewhere. Anyway, probably don't even run anymore. So basically I have worked on 640x400 with, you know, drawn backgrounds on paper, scanned in, colored on the PC, walk cycles that have been done, basically drawing them frame by frame and importing them in, like, before I even had a good version of Photoshop. Man, I remember before I even discovered AGS, when I was trying to make a high-res point-and-click game in Click and Play, I was making this game, and, oh man, that was shit, because I would scan...
You're like the number one monkey. Alan fanboy and you just wanted to make Curse, which was like when basically. I joined the AGS, that was everybody wanted to make Curse of Mankind.
Oh, absolutely.
That was what everyone wanted to do.
Absolutely, and I definitely was part of that crowd. But no, I drew the character and I would scan it, but my scanner was kind of shitty, so like it didn't come out clean. So I had to clean up the black and white artifacts on the thing. And then I also had PaintShop Pro. I didn't even have Photoshop. And the magic wand tool was not that great. So, like, I would have to pixel out, pixel by pixel, like, all of the halo around it when I would do the you know, the bright color for the sprite background for the transparencies. Oh, man, that took forever. I guess it's a good thing I never finished that game, because if I had actually, like, put the time and effort into it, it would have taken me forever. Mm. Also, I was trying to do backgrounds. I tried painting watercolor backgrounds. Oh, man, that looked like shit. Mostly because, well, A, I couldn't draw, which I still am not good at drawing big backgrounds like that. And B, watercolors, I've never been able to get watercolors to look good. So, yeah, that was pretty embarrassing. But, yeah, I mean, it's rewarding to see a walk cycle that you do in high res if you scan it and do it and it comes out looking smooth and cool. But it definitely is time consuming. I don't know that I would, as one person, I don't know that I would feel up to the task of doing an entire game in that resolution. So more power to you.
Well, I haven't done it yet.
No, but I mean, more power to you for taking on the challenge and thinking about doing it. Because
I mean,
I would be terrified to do it.
At this point, like when I started working on Blackwell, I wasn't sure. Like I was like, "Geez, I don't know if I can do like a whole game's graphics by myself." You know, other than minus the portraits and close-ups and stuff, which other people did
right.
in Epiphany. But you know, I did like all the animations, all the backgrounds, all the items. All you know, I did a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, "I don't know if I can do this." But I just realized that if you just keep plugging away at it every day, it eventually gets done. Like, mm-hmm. And now, like, doing Techno Babylon and Shardlight, I've not had any of that doubt about whether I can do it. I'm just like, how long is it going to take?
Right.
That's all it is, you know. Sort of, you just learn to just stick at it. You just learn perseverance. Like, the thing that got me was when I was doing Epiphany and Dave, we had Indrek, background artist for Deception, drop out, and Dave was like, you know, I normally wouldn't ask people, but are you willing to do the backgrounds as well as the characters? I kind of thought then, like, I draw 100 backgrounds a year anyway, and half of them never get seen or used or anything like that. I might as well put them towards a game that actually gets finished. So, you know, so I did. So I'm kind of the same way now, and I'm like, well, I do high-res stuff all the time, okay. Like, you know, just sketching and stuff like that. I might as well put it to something where it gets used.
That's fair. You know?
That's not to say I'm super experienced with, like, 640 by 400 stuff, but, you know, I've been experimenting. And, yeah, I think, you know, maybe in a year's time you'll ask me and it'll be the worst decision ever made. I know Shane is working on Mage's Initiation, and
yes.
He hates doing the high-res sprites. He just hates it. He's like,
but those are very pixelated high-res sprites, despite being high-res.
I don't even know how tall they are. I kind of think, like, you know, Shane very much sticks to his style. He's got a very recognizable style, so. I see them and I'm like, I wonder how much bigger they are. I mean, I know it's a lot of work because Shane takes a lot of care with his shading, a lot more than I do. He uses so many colors. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah.
I think that might be some of the thing. Like, I limit myself very much when it comes to shading because I'm like, you know, I know I've got to animate however many characters for however many frames.
They're actually going to be showing Mage's Initiation at the Playcrafting Expo that was 2 days ago. Well, by the time this goes out,
okay.
So it's time travel. Well, tomorrow is Back to the Future Day, so I guess it's it's, well, for you, it actually is Back to the Future Day right now. So the time travel works, but from from the time of this recording, in two days it'll be the expo, and it'll be 2 days ago when this goes. But the point is,
Jesus, say whatever you're trying to say. It's getting hard to follow.
So yeah, that's time travel for you. Anyway, they're showing Mage's Initiation. So by the time that our listeners hear this, I'll have seen it. So I'll be able to talk about it, I guess, if we want to, right, next podcast.
Thank you.
Also, got there. Yeah, and I'll be showing Shardlight. So with my brand new Shardlight T-shirt on, I made a Shardlight T-shirt. How is that?
Did you make a Shardlight T-shirt, or did you order a Shardlight T-shirt?
Well, I mean, I custom designed the Shardlight T-shirt. If that counts as
making. How long did it take you to put the logo together?
Like 2 seconds.
Oh, really, man? You did that quick.
Well, I mean, all you do is you go and you. I took the logo from the poster, the really big.
I know. What I'm saying is, I designed the logo, dude.
Oh, right. Of course you did.
So I'm looking at Mage's Initiation sprites now.
Yeah.
They're 111 pixels tall. That's pretty tall.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's pretty tall for a. It's pretty tall for 320 by 200, but not by 640 by 400.
Yeah, that's like, it's like, I'm just trying to work out how tall Shardlight sprites are. I think they're like 80, 90.
Yeah, they're roughly about 80, 90.
Yeah, so it's, I know, to me, like, yeah. To me, my sprites have been getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So to me, this is just a little bit like my sprites are getting a bit bigger. You know?
I know the sprites for A Golden Wake were average about like 70 pixels tall, maybe 75. I don't know, but anyway, yeah, 111 pixels isn't even double that. So,
Yeah. So, when you think, like, you know, especially when I was doing my own games towards the end of that, I definitely was starting to get into big characters.
Yeah.
So,
well,
it's
big were the sprites like and piss?
What's that? Sorry.
How big were the sprites and piss? They were pretty. They looked pretty tall.
No, they weren't. I don't know. I think Ordis was starting where it was really getting big, because back then I was working 320 by 240.
Ah, right.
So, you know, I had a lot more screen space to fill up, and when you've got a lot more screen space to fill up, you start, like, I want to put bigger characters. You know, I started doing games at 320 by 144 for a while, just because it was like the Monkey Island sort of, you had that bottom
interface
thing, and I was like, I really did that because I was a lazy shit and I didn't want to draw.
Yeah, same.
So,
but not much has changed for me, so.
Yeah, well, yeah. what are you doing?
I'm shifting in my chair.
Oh, I can really hear it coming through, but it's probably not.
It's because of your laptop, yeah. I mean, it's because of the laptop microphone, that's why.
Yeah. but yeah, it's kind of, how do I say? It's kind of interesting. Like, back then, I just wanted to make graphics just because I wanted to make a game, and then in doing that, I really started caring about the graphics.
Hmm.
Like, that started mattering a lot to me. So, I guess because when you find yourself comfortable doing a thing, you focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But I don't know. I think, to me, it feels more like a natural progression than it's ever felt.
That's good.
So, there's that. I'm just looking now. Yeah, the order sprites were about 105 pixels tall. So that's nearly Mage's Initiation scale. So I've been thinking about all this stuff, and I'm like, you know, if I drop the character size a little bit down to maybe Technobabylon size in the thing, it's like, I think it's doable. I might regret it, but I don't want to be stuck doing the same style forever. That's just boring.
That's fair.
So it made me laugh because as soon as Dave tweeted that I wanted to move because I was feeling stuck at 320 by 200, Ron Gilbert was like, "Oh, sacrilege." And I was like, "Dude, your game is totally not 320 by 200. I see the mixed pixel resolutions." Like, I'm not an idiot.
Oh, dear.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I love pixel art. I love the low-res look. And there are very few great-looking 640 by 400 or 640 480. Well, let's just say SVGA adventure games. Mm-hmm. Like, I when it, you look at stuff like Fable, I like the way Fable looks, but it doesn't look great.
Mm.
You know. So it's kind of going to be interesting to see if I can make it look good or if it's going to be a complete abject failure.
Yeah, well, we'll see. So that's a good segue into the second question, which is, do you think low-res pixel art hurts sales? Which, I'm not really qualified to talk about how it affects sales, because I have no idea how that works, but I do see that there's a lot of people, I've noticed, like, I know you're not supposed to read the comments, but we put out a trailer for Shardlight last week, and I've seen one or two comments that are like, ugh, it's 2015, ugh, update the graphics, ugh, because that's what they sound like to me in my head, I'm not biased at all. And I was just, I actually was having a discussion with Ian Schlepper the other day, so I saw him at a thing, and we were talking about, like, people who don't like low-res pixel art, and are tired, quote-unquote, of low-res pixel art, and I don't know, I feel like it's one of those things where it's, if it's done well, it can be done really, really well, like anything, if it's done well, it can look great, and if you're lazy, it's, you can sort of fall back on it and it'll look like shit. Like, there's plenty of games that are like, oh, there, it's pixel art. Yeah. And then you look at it like, Shower with Your Dad Simulator. There's a lot of showering games now that I think about it. What's that all about?
I'm excited to try that. Actually, I got gifted that from Brian the other day.
Well,
so I'm excited to play that.
But if you look at the graphics in Shower with Your Dad Simulator, like, the character sprites are very, very basic. They're pixelated, but there's very little detail. They're tiny. And I don't know, if people are like, oh, that's what pixel art is, then that, I guess, can kind of give it a bad rap, because you think, oh, pixel art, it's going to be like really old school Atari, you know, circle, red dot and blue square moving around the thing, and there's no detail or whatever. So, you know, there's that. But I mean, there's other games where the pixel art is beautiful, you know, they're low res and they're quote unquote pixely. But then, you know, your backgrounds, like you said, you get a pixelated look at 320x200, but it's not pixel art. I mean, Matt Frith does pixel art where he places every single individual pixel and has to be concerned about the blockiness and everything. But you paint your backgrounds, as do I. And while they are pixely looking, they're not pixel by pixel art. So I'm going to shut up now and let you talk. Because yeah. I don't know what I just said.
I guess what I think is this. Some people aren't going to like pixel art. That's fine. Get over it. Like,
that was easy.
Who cares? Yeah, like, that's the thing, man. Like, some people don't like first-person shooters, and they're going to see another first-person shooter. It doesn't matter how good the graphics are or how good the shooting is. They're going to see it and go, oh, it's another first-person shooter. That's fine. They don't like first-person shooters. Some people don't like low resolution. That's fine. Like,
yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. The only thing I have to say, my pet peeve is, and I've told you this before, but I just want to get it out there too. My pet peeve is that when people are like, oh, well, it's low res, so of course it's AGS, because AGS somehow, they think that you have to make a game in 320x200 because that's some sort of technical limitation of AGS, which is completely untrue. But people listening to this podcast know that, and I think I've said this before.
And again, who cares?
Yeah, I guess.
What does it matter what some person on the internet said? If you cared about that, about everything,
yeah,
you'd never stop caring. You just gotta... Here's the thing, like, you say, oh, do you think it hurts sales? Maybe.
Yeah.
But if you did it for the sales, it would be a joyless, soulless, boring job. You don't do it for the sales, you don't do it for the money, you don't do it for any of that. You do it because it's the thing that you want to do.
Yes, that's very true.
It's very... Like, there was this article a few months ago about, like, this pixel art guy ranting and raving about
people
don't appreciate pixel art and everything like that. I was like, dude, shut the fuck up. First of all, you're putting down other artists' work going, this AAA game looks like shit. Fuck you. First of all, if you're an artist, why would you go around saying that about other people's work in a big article like that? Second of all, you're putting your opinion across as fact, which is ridiculous in the first place, because every opinion-based thing about this is better, this is worse, is subjective completely. And third of all, who fucking cares? You're an artist. Some people aren't going to like your work. That's fine.
Mm.
Nickelback might be like the most million-selling band in the world, but they still get stones thrown at them.
Do they actually literally get stones thrown at them?
Absolutely.
Wow. Oh, man, I want to be there.
Justin Bieber might have 68 billion fans, but there's still people that reckon he's a talentless, soulless piece of shit. That's fine.
Well, his dad people likes him, at least.
People are allowed to have opinions. And if you go like, oh, they're wrong because this pixel art's better than that pixel art. Dude, if you don't like any classical music, it doesn't matter whether it's good classical music or bad classical music. You're still going to be like, well, this is shit. Same with heavy metal, same with rap, same with everything.
Mm.
If people aren't willing to let themselves get used to a thing, that's fine. You don't have to. There's a million other games out there on Steam. Get them. Like, there's a point where you just got to stop caring and stop being like, oh, they don't like my game, but my game looks better than this game that's low res. Who cares? Just make your game. People are going to say negative things about it. That's fine. I say negative shit about games all the time. I'm allowed to, because I'm a consumer. They're allowed to say negative shit about my games, because they're a consumer.
Mm.
That's the thing, like, you can say, oh, but they don't understand this. They don't need to understand. They're not an artist. They don't give a shit. They just want to play a game on their Saturday. You know, it's easy to get sensitive about this stuff, and, like, it gets too close to home, but there comes a point where you just got to be like, you know what? I might only sell sandwiches with avocado in them, and some people aren't going to like avocado, and that's fine.
Oh man,
get your sandwich somewhere else.
I want that sandwich. I want some avocado.
Yeah, but that's, I really believe that people get too sensitive about it. That's why I don't read the comments.
No, you're absolutely right, and I'm guilty of getting too sensitive about those things too.
There's always going to be people who are like, I don't like this. That's good. That's fine. If everybody liked it, you'd never learn how to get better, or you'd never be like, you know. If everybody likes something that you've made, then you've probably done something wrong. If you're pissing someone off, then it means you've got an identifiable feature of your own.
Hmm.
So,
I mean, there's also people who just say negative shit just to be assholes, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah, but dude, people are allowed to have their opinions.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's easy to go, oh, they're just being negative, because no, maybe they genuinely just hate pixel art. That's fine. Fucking get over it. It doesn't matter.
Hmm.
You know, just like, it's so easy to get sensitive about this stuff, where at the end of the day, as long as there's some people willing to buy your stuff, why would you change to pander to your audience?
No, not at all. I'm not suggesting changing at all.
Well, the root of the question was, do you think it hurts sales? And I'm like, well, yeah, but I think anything hurts sales in some extent.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah.
Well, good.
Maybe doing a high-resolution game would sell twice as much, but at a purely economic perspective, it'd take twice as long.
Right.
So, you're not fucking doing any better.
Right.
Well, and in Dave's history, the high-res games have sold the least.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. Mm. Anyway, that's my rant done.
Good. That was refreshing. You haven't ranted in a while.
Well, people haven't asked me silly things in a while. not that the question that was posed by Joel was a silly question. I just think that people dwell too much on that stuff. Dude, it's art.
It's absolutely too easy to dwell on those sorts of things, and I think the best piece of advice you gave from your rant was that just don't worry about it. Because, like I said, I'm guilty of thinking too much and being like, oh, why don't people like, you know? And it's totally not worth it. It's like you said, the reason you're doing this isn't even because, like, it totally is just because you like doing it. Like, doing it for the money or the recognition or all that stuff is totally the wrong reason to do indie games. Like,
and what, someone left a Steam comment?
Ooh, yeah. Oh no.
How your honor's been slighted. Who gives a fuck?
Exactly. Or even that, like, how many people are gonna read that and be like, oh, this person's opinion, oh, I'm not gonna buy this game because this person said it sucked. I mean, some people will do that, but most people will be like, you know, willing to give it a chance if it interests them. I mean, how many times do you not go, well, you don't go to the movies, but like if a movie came out and it got like all shitty reviews, would you go see the movie anyway if it interested you?
I do what I want.
Exactly. Exactly. And hopefully most people will do too. Well, yeah.
You know, but I'm a special case.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a point where no matter how negative people are being about a thing, someone's going to see it. Someone's going to want it. To an extent.
Exactly. So
there's some games out there that never sell a copy.
Well, I mean, look at Sinister City. It has like all these terrible reviews, and you and I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah, like, and it's too much to cover, like, in a thing. But yeah, I'd say that it's just yes, people are gonna hate you no matter what you do.
Yeah,
it's the internet. It's never been easier to get onto YouTube or IGN or Steam and fart out a comment in two... I've put stupid opinions on the internet. I've got Twitter. It's the easiest thing in the world to just go... We're all guilty of doing it. Just let other people do it. Who cares?
Yep.
Like, yeah. And I really believe that if someone wants to say something about a thing, if you firmly believe in freedom of speech... then they're allowed to say whatever the fuck they want about your game, and you just have to deal with it. If you want to say your opinion about games, then everyone else is allowed to, too.
I actually prefer freedom of speech. But
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. That's the thing about democracy, is that even the stupidest person is allowed to vote.
Yeah. Well,
you know.
There you go.
And just because you don't agree with somebody... that doesn't make them stupid. Like, we're nostalgic for pixel art because we grew up playing games in those resolutions. But if you've never seen black and white films in your entire life and you go to see a film that's in black and white, you're like, why isn't there color? Why would you not have color in there?
Well, that and also because, you know, low res is so much easier to work in. Practically, anyway.
Well, sure. I'm sure black and white's a lot easier to work in. You don't have to do all the color grading and shit that people spend millions of dollars on these days.
What are you doing? It sounds like you're rubbing some rubber thing against the microphone. I am. Oh.
That was my toy.
Your toy?
Yeah.
What is it?
Robert Yang figurine.
Your mannequin?
No. I'm just playing with the... I've got headphones with the old-style telephone cable. And it's fun to play with.
I've got those, too. I'm wearing them right now.
Yeah.
Except the thing around the headphones, the ear things are flaking off. So every now and then I'll look in the mirror and I'll have a big black fleck of something on my face. And I'm like, where did that come from? And then I realize, it's because I was wearing headphones.
Hmm.
Anyway, we should probably wrap things up. Because it's Tuesday time. I've
shouted at people.
Yes. Yes. And I don't want to take away from your Tuesday time.
But yeah, in summary, just do the thing you want. Maybe it won't work. Maybe it will. Just take the risk. Just don't be too bound by what other people are going to think of a thing.
Exactly.
It's what you want to do.
Do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
If you're tired... of starting over. Stop giving up.
Stop giving up.
So thank you for listening to our podcast. This has been the Blue Cup Tools. If you want to follow us individually on Twitter, I am at Grunislav Games.
I'm at Ben_304.
And together, we are
at BCT_podcast.
So yeah, go ahead and check us out I wonder how useful it is if it hurts sales to say those sorts of things.
Fuck off.
All right, bye.